Webster's dictionary defines authority this way: the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, or make final decisions. And authority is not an issue any one of us can ever escape, because every one of us have authorities in our life, and every one of us exercise some kind of authority. And since we can't escape it, there are three things we all desperately need. First, we need to know how to think rightly about authority. Second, we need to know how to relate to authority properly. And thirdly, how to exercise any authority that we've been given. So to begin to think rightly about authority, you must go back to the ultimate authority, the source of all authority, which is God Himself. And the Bible says our view of God and His authority rubs the raw edge of our life every single day. It shapes us. And the Bible says the driving force behind what is wrong with us is that we don't think rightly about God's authority, and other authorities included. So here's some good news. We can learn everything we need to know about authority by looking at one person. This person is the only person who ever properly and consistently thought correctly about God's authority. He is the only person who every single time related perfectly to authorities in his life. And he's the only person who righteously exercised his authority. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And on any topic, especially this topic, we need to go to him. And this is where our series through the Gospel of Mark is going to be a great help. Today, we just read the scriptures, and the theme that unites that whole passage is the authority of Jesus Christ. He shows his authority in calling disciples. They immediately followed him. He shows his authority in teaching. They were amazed. This man teaches with authority. He makes himself the own authority. He had authority over demonic powers, and he had authority to heal people of diseases. So here's what we're going to learn about Jesus' authority, and it will help us as we try to relate to authorities. First of all, his authority is different. And then his authority is drastic. And his authority is developmental. And finally, it's doable for us. So let's take them one at a time. First of all, Jesus' authority is different. It's unlike any other authority. Look at chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." Now, did you notice immediately John the Baptist was taken into custody by the authorities, the Roman authorities? And in contrast with that authority, there's a new authority on the scene. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's preaching. And there are two key phrases about what he's preaching that let us know that his authority is different. It is unlike any other authority we've been exposed to. Did you see the two key phrases? It's gospel and kingdom. That's why it's different. He came preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God. And once we understand what that is, we'll see that this is a different authority. It's very compelling. First of all, the term gospel. He came to preach the gospel. That word literally means good or well and news, or joyful news. This kind of word was not just a Christian word. The Roman Empire used it. They talked about the gospel of Caesar Augustus, the power of Rome that brings order and good news to those they conquered. The Greeks used it. When they defeated the Persians at the Battle of Marathon, they sent evangelists preaching the gospel. We've won the war. You've been set free. This term means that something has happened in history that is to your benefit if you will submit to it. For example, examples of gospel like that would be telling the slaves, you're set free. Or telling a parent, we found your lost child. Or a doctor telling you, the surgery was successful, we got out all of the cancer. Something is done to you that changes your status if you respond to it properly. This is the gospel that Jesus is preaching. And what he is doing is ushering in a gospel, a good news, rooted in what he has done for us. It is unlike religion. Every other religion is basically advice, self-help, follow these steps, try your best. The gospel is totally different. It is not good advice. It is not self-help. It is proclaiming a message. This happened on your behalf. God has done something for you in Christ. And if you will believe it and submit to it, it's the best news you'll ever hear. The gospel of Christ is that he lived the life we could never live. He defeated the power of Satan. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the grave, and he can give us a whole new life if we will submit to his gospel. There's another word here, and it's kingdom. This gospel, by the way, is, if we see what he's really saying, it shakes us to the core. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Here's what he said. He said, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. Do you know what the good news is? That you can say to yourself, you can say to anybody you meet, I want to tell you something. God doesn't count your sins against you because he counted them against Christ. And if you will submit to his authority, his good news, that can be real in your life. Now, that's a different kind of authority. And it's a kingdom authority. He's preaching the kingdom of God. And when you say kingdom of God, you can never separate God's authority from his kingdom. Because his kingdom means a realm in which he rules. And Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of God. And to understand that, we need to know the whole message of the Bible, because that's what makes it sense. The whole Bible can be summarized in three words: creation, fall, restoration. We were created by a wonderful God in a perfect environment. Everything was perfect because he was king. And then we rebelled against his authority. And then instead of loving him and loving people, we turned in on ourselves and we became self-consumed. Do you know what the most destructive power on earth is? Selfishness. It'll destroy every other relationship. It'll pervert our view of life. And it'll corrode us from within. And the Bible says we've fallen into a self-consumed way. And the third thing is we need to be restored. We need somebody to change us from the inside, put us back under his authority, and give us the power to love God and love people and be freed from that. And this is what this kingdom is about. Jesus is preaching a kingdom that is both now and not yet fully fulfilled. It is now. He's preaching it now. If you're a believer, you're in the kingdom. Here's what Paul said about it in Colossians. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and you have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And all that means is God is now ruling in your life. He changes you on the inside. And instead of being self-consumed, you begin to love God and love people. And you advance his kingdom. It's right now. But this kingdom is not yet fully fulfilled. Because his kingdom is unlike any other kingdom. He is going to restore everything to the created order. That's part of his kingdom. Hasn't come yet. This is why Jesus predicted his second coming. It's recorded over 200 times in the New Testament. And when he comes back, he will change everything. We'll get new literal resurrection bodies. All of nature will be changed. This makes Christianity totally different from any other religion. Other religions talk about being delivered from this material world, or it's an illusion. And if you're a secularist, it'll just burn up and go away. The Bible is totally different. It says he is coming to restore you, to make the material world what it should have been. He will remove your sin nature, give you a new body, and everything will be restored. And here's what that means. That if we're advancing his kingdom, we know his agenda is to restore all things to their proper order. So what are we about? We're about fighting disease and caring for orphans and caring about the poor and the underprivileged and justice and righteousness. That's a part of his kingdom. But it comes from hearts that have been changed on the inside. So that we're about loving God and loving people. Jesus brings this kind of kingdom. And that authority is totally different. It's a good news authority. He's done something for you. It's a kingdom authority. It changes you inside. It changes the society around you if you cooperate with it. It's illustrated for us here in the story of healing Peter's mother-in-law. Did you notice what it was? He came into the house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And then it says in verse 30 and 31, look at what it says. Every word matters. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. He came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. See that little word, raised her up? Every time that phrase is used of an individual being healed in the Gospel of Mark, it's always used, raised her up. The only other time that is used in the Gospel of Mark is Jesus being raised up from the dead. Now put them together. Do you see what his kingdom does? He raises her up, he restores her to health, and what does she do? She goes about serving. She's building community. She's loving God and loving people. She's part of that kingdom. And Jesus coming out of the grave is going to eventually restore everything. This is the kingdom that he brings. And that's our hope. So when you look at Jesus exercising his authority, it is totally different. It is a good news authority. God has done something for you to liberate you. And he's unleashed a power in you. If you put your faith in him, it'll change you from self-centeredness to loving God and people. And it'll put you on a path to restore things. That's a different authority. But it's also a drastic authority. Look at verses 16 through 20. And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea. For they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he said to James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets, immediately he came to them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away and followed him. Now, this is a drastic authority because it's all-inclusive. Did you notice these men? When Jesus calls them with his authority, one of them left their nets. And the other one left their father Zebedee. Now, they eventually came back to fishing. They took care of their families and loved them. But this was an immediate, drastic call. And do you notice what that's telling us? Every other rabbi in Jesus' day never went out and recruited disciples. Jesus is different. He's going out recruiting his own disciples. This is telling us something. You can't come to him unless he calls you. And he is calling us into his kingdom. But it's very drastic because it means I have authority over your business. Leave your nets. I have authority over your family. Leave your father. Now, in traditional cultures, to say leave your family, that's drastic. In secular cultures, to say I have authority over your career, that's drastic. Jesus' authority is drastic. What he means is, I want to be the ultimate center of everything. That's the kind of authority I want in your life. Now, what would that look like in everyday life if we took it to heart? I believe it would look like this diagram, where he is in the center. And because he's in the center, he's on the throne of my life, it shapes everything. It's transformed. I bring his kingdom and his gospel to my family, to work, to home, church, government. Now, if you take him out, all you've got left in the center is self. And our problem is self-centeredness. And you put self-centeredness in the middle, and you will mess up every one of those other things. But you put his authority in the center, under his submission, he brings his love and his grace and his transformation to everything. His authority is drastic. It is all-inclusive. It includes every part of our lives. Now, I know what you might be thinking, what I was thinking when I was studying this. That seems a little extreme. I mean, fanatics could get a hold of this and just go off on the deep end. That's really extreme. And so a lot of secular people think this way when they hear this kind of thing from Christians. Here's the solution to extremism. I mean, we've got religious extremists everywhere. We know they kill in the name of God and they go off on weird tangents. So how do we avoid the extreme? Here's what we do. We have a spectrum. On one end are the hypocrites. We don't want that. And on the other end are the weird extremists. We don't want that. So the solution is somewhere in the middle. Just kind of tone it down. Just make Jesus a little more comfortable. Not so extreme. Now, would Jesus agree with that? No, he wouldn't. Listen to Luke chapter 14, to what Jesus said. Listen to what he said. Now, large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, can't be my disciple." That sounds extreme to me. It doesn't sound like he toned it down. But here's the thing that he's saying. He is not saying to hate actively, to hate comparatively. When you take your love and devotion to me and compare it with these other areas, it can almost look like hate. This is the one that told us to love our families, to sacrifice for them. He doesn't mean actively hate. He's talking about a comparison. And here's what he's saying. This is for anybody that wants to be my disciple. Here's what he's not saying. All I want is a few Marine types who really get it. And the rest of you can be in the middle and kind of moderate. Now, what he is saying is, if you want my authority in your life, it's all inclusive. It permeates everything. And if you put an if on it, you can't come. Jesus, I'll follow you if it's not too hard. I'll follow you if you don't change the plans I had. I will follow you if, because behind the if is what you're really going after, and he won't be used. His authority is all inclusive. Now, I look at that and I say, okay, what does that look like? And so I want to tell you a story where I got a picture of what it really looks like in practical terms. Jesus' authority is all inclusive, and he has to be the center shaping everything. And I got a front row seat to what that looks like on February the 3rd, 1994. And that morning, I attended a national prayer breakfast. and I heard Mother Teresa speak to the leaders of our nation. She spoke with courage and candor. Her speech was only 25 minutes long, but it illustrated to me, in terms I could not deny, what the all-inclusive authority of Jesus looks like if you take it seriously. Now, to make sure I remembered it correctly, I looked it up again this week and listened to the whole thing all over again and relived it. And that morning, this small, frail woman was addressing people who were in authority. She was speaking to the leaders of the most powerful nation on earth. To her right was the president and his wife. To her left was the vice president and his wife. Seated in front of her by the hundreds were military, political, and spiritual leaders who all knew about authority. Mother Teresa didn't look like a person with any kind of authority. I mean, you could barely see her head. And this frail little woman with her tiny little body spoke in a very low, weak voice. She rarely looked up from her manuscript. She broke every rule of public communication. As she read her manuscript, she would turn the pages and the mic picked it up. But all of the leaders she was addressing had authority, but yet they were about to encounter someone who had come in touch with an all-inclusive authority, and it touched every one of us right to the core. As she began to speak, she spoke from God's word right to our hearts. And what she did is she boldly preached the gospel, good news of a different kind of kingdom, and she applied it right to specific areas. So what did she say? Listen to her. Jesus came to give the good news that God loves us and wants us to love one another as He loves us. Where does that begin? In our families as we pray together. Jesus died for you, and He died for me, and the leper, and the outcast. Jesus insisted that we love one another as He loved us. He died on the cross because that's what it took to save us from our sin. We are to be willing to give whatever it takes to do good to one another. It is not enough for us to say, I love God. We must also love our neighbor. The Bible says we're liars. We don't love God. Are we willing to give until it hurts? Then she moved to a specific application on a specific issue of that gospel. Here's what she said. The greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus and the neglect of receiving Jesus. And at that point, hundreds of people stood up and began to clap. And the leaders of our country sat there like stone statues and scolded little boys. Mother Teresa didn't quit. She said, if we accept that a mother can kill her own children, how can we tell people not to kill one another? Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love one another, but is using violence to get what they want. That's why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. Then she demonstrated how she and her co-workers were totally sold out to the all-inclusive authority of Jesus Christ. She said, a beautiful gift that God has given our congregation is to fight abortion by adoption. Over 3,000 from one house in Calcutta. What joy, what love, what peace those children have brought into the families. Also, I offer you, she said, our sisters are here. Anybody does not want their children, please give them to us. We want your children. We sent word to the clinics, hospitals, and police stations in Calcutta. Don't destroy the children. We'll take the child. We always have someone tell the mothers in trouble, we'll care for you. We'll give a home to your child. Please don't kill the child. We want the child. Please give us the children. We're willing to accept any child who would be aborted and give them to a loving couple that will love them. Give until it hurts. Let us love one another as God loved us. It begins in the home, praying daily. It's not how much we do, but how much love we put into what we do. And then when she exited, everybody but some stood to their feet, roaring with applause. What did I learn from that? Mother Teresa taught me a valuable lesson about authority that day. She demonstrated that submission to Jesus' all-inclusive authority means that you take your love for God and you line it up every day with love for people. And it transforms you to the core. Jesus is telling us his authority is drastic. It's all-inclusive. But it's not done. It's developmental. His authority develops us like we'd never be developed by any other authority. Look at verse 17. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." Now look at every word. Follow me. He's going on a journey. It's not static. He's taking you someplace. And he says, "I will make you become something." You will change. It's a process if you follow me. Expect to be changed. And I'll make you something, fishers of men. Now, in the biblical imagery of the sea where fish are, it stands for chaos and darkness. So what is it that men are being fished out of that is chaos and darkness? Is exactly what we talked about before. It is our extreme self-centeredness. And only the gospel of Christ can change us from the inside to be lovers of God and people instead of self-centeredness. And he says, "You follow me, I will make you someone who has the power through the gospel to draw people out of that kingdom into a brand new kingdom ruled by the gospel and its advancement." Now, this is why when you get Jesus talking about authority to his disciples, the light goes on. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28, here's what happened. James and John, with their mother's encouragement, came to Jesus and said, "Hey, we're into this authority thing. In your kingdom, make us sit on the right and the left." And it says the disciples were indignant. And then Jesus says, "Come here, fellas." And he said, "Let me tell you something about authority. The Gentiles who are in authority, they lord it over people. It is not to be so among you." Among you? If you want to be first, you want to be the greatest, be a servant and a slave. And furthermore, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Do you see? It's a developmental, a different kind of authority that dies in order to bless others instead of manipulate and control because I've got the power. It's a different kind of authority. And it brings the kingdom of God. I think the best illustration of what that looks like is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had authority from the religious leaders to go and kill Christians. And under that authority was a religious intolerance that said, "You Gentiles believe the wrong stuff, do the wrong stuff, and we see you Christians as a threat, we're killing you." And then Paul got under another authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he totally changes. He never goes around killing anybody else. He lays down his life to bring life to people. And whenever Paul talked about his authority, he did it in 2 Corinthians, you know what he said? "I'm with you for your joy." It's authority not to destroy, but to build you up. This is a developmental authority, which means if we submit to it, here's how to tell if we're submitted. More and more, my love for God and my love for people are right in line with each other. More and more, I'm dying to myself and I'm giving my life away for His glory. C.S. Lewis put it perfectly. Listen to his words. "The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let Him take us over, the more truly ourselves we will become. The more I resist Him and try to live on my own, the more I become dominated by my own heredity, upbringing, surroundings, and natural desires. In fact, what I so proudly call myself becomes merely the meeting place of trains of events I never started and I can never stop. Jesus is an authority that develops us into what we were made for, loving God and people. So here we are. Mark said, take a look at Jesus' authority. It's different. It's a gospel and a kingdom authority. It is drastic. It is all-inclusive. He wants to be on the throne of your life. And it's developmental. You'll become what you were made for. And so we can say, okay, so what am I? Good for Jesus. How does that affect me? How can I do this? Now, this is the clincher to the whole thing, so don't miss it. The only reason it was possible for Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, but lived as a man, to exercise the kind of authority he did, the only reason is because he was totally submitted to the authority of God the Father. Listen to his own words. John 5:19. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. John 14. The works I do, I don't do on my own initiative. It's the Father who's in me working through me. Now listen, this is how Jesus is our example. We can submit to God just like he did. We can yield to his power because he came to live within us through the Holy Spirit and he gives us the power to do that. And his power is then unleashed through us. Now we talk a whole lot about missions and the Great Commission in this church. But it dawned on me there's two things we don't talk about enough. Do you know what it says right before he says, go and make disciples of all nations? Hello, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Do you know what comes right after that command? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you see what he's saying? If you want to be effective in changing people's hearts, then you must be under my authority and in my presence. And then your heart will change, and lining up loving God and loving people and dying to yourself will permeate you. And it'll be an expansion of an authority that blesses the world. It doesn't oppress and put down. It liberates. So what am I supposed to do with this? How can I take this and get on the journey so it's in my heart, in my life, and more every single day? I think rightly about authority. I respond to authority properly. I use the authority I have. The only solution I think there is what Jesus taught us. I need to relearn this over and over. I need three things intentionally in my life. Number one, I need the Word of God. Because let me tell you, I don't think rightly about authority and you don't either. I've got a rebel's heart, so do you. I need truth that will set me free. And here's what Jesus said. If you're my disciples, you'll abide in my word, you'll know the truth will set you free. Now, do you see what that's saying? Lies put you in bondage. Truth sets you free. If you're not intentionally going to this book and getting God's viewpoint on authority, you'll believe a lie and you'll be in bondage. So get into the compass this week, especially on this topic. Use it with your family. Go over it with your office mates. This is core. This is our root problem in life. We don't think properly about authority. The second thing we need is power. I don't have the power, even if I get the truth, to do this. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, from your innermost spirit will flow rivers of living water. I'll give you the power of the Spirit of God that can liberate you. I need that every day. And I need people. I need the body of Christ who gets this to remind me over and over and over, get under the authority. It's a different kind of authority. Submit to this. This is why Jesus says, here how people will know you're my disciples. You love one another. In other words, my kingdom, loving God, loving people, gets lined up. It's not an authority of selfishness. It's an authority of love. So when I look at this, here's where I come out. Help. Lord, help me. I really, really need to be changed in this area. And I'm refreshed because you know what he said? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He said, if you follow me, I will change you. Just follow me. So I believe everybody in this room has authority issues. Somebody in authority wounded you and hurt you. You know what you did? You started believing lies. It transferred to your relationship with God and you don't trust him. We need this. And today is Healing Prayer Sunday. I need healing in this area. How about you? And I want to ask you to respond to our healing prayer teams today. Some of you are in poor health because you got an authority issue and bitterness that Jesus has never healed. You need this. So do I. So this brought me to repentance, folks. Mother Teresa convicted me. This convicted me. Lord, help. Do you feel like that? Let's come to Jesus and ask him to change us on the inside. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that your authority is like no other. I thank you that you bring a kingdom and a good news that we desperately need. And I thank you that it's all inclusive and you won't water it down. And I thank you that you have gone to extreme lengths to bring us to yourself and restore us. And Lord, I pray, starting with me, that we would be a church family that submits to your authority and lets you change us. I pray that this would affect our homes, our work, and every single thing we do. We thank you and praise you for your death and your resurrection and your authority being our hope. And all God's people said,